Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Hazra et al. Titled, Impact of High-Fat Diet on Vasoconstrictor Reactivity of White and Brown Adipose Tissue Resistance Arteries. This article was published December 14, 2018. Joining me today are Editor-in-Chief Irv Zucker, lead author Lisa Lesniewski, and content expert Camilla Venceslau. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara, and welcome Lisa and Camilla to the AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast for this very interesting paper. As you know, in infants and neonates and in hibernating animals, the role of brown adipose tissue is to provide enhanced temperature regulation because of high amount of energy stored in this tissue and its enhanced ATP production. However, new imaging techniques, for example, PET scanning, have clearly showed stores of brown adipose tissue in adult humans. While much is known about the metabolism of both brown adipose tissue and white adipose tissue, there's less known about the vasculature in these tissues and the effects of dietary fat on the function of resistance arterioles in these tissues. Thus, the topic of today's discussion. Lisa, I wonder if you could please tell our listeners what the rationale for the study was, a little bit about the methodology that you used and the design and what you found.
Sure. Thank you, Irv. So for several years now, my laboratory has been interested in the role that vascular dysfunction may play in adipose tissue function and systemic metabolism, and particularly how these are affected in the setting of aging and obesity. And it's pretty widely accepted now that adipose tissue plays an important role in determining systemic metabolic function. And it's also accepted that sort of the function of the vessels and adipose tissue blood flow plays a large role in the health and function of the adipose tissue itself. And so with that, we became interested in looking at how adipose tissue vascular reactivity might be impacted in states like obesity. My laboratory has previously published some data looking in the white adipose tissue at vasodilator function and could see in both obesity and in aging that we have a decrease in endothelium-dependent dilation, and that this appears to be related to reductions in nitric oxide bioavailability, as well as inflammation. And so we know that adipose tissue blood flow is modulated not only by vasodilators, but also by vasoconstrictors. We thought that it was very critical to also explore the reactivity of vessels from the white adipose tissue to vasoconstrictors. In fact, we know that the sympathetic nervous system and the RAS systems play important roles in adipose tissue metabolism and are obviously also involved in vascular function. And we thought that changes in reactivity to agonists related to these systems might play an important role in adipose tissue blood flow. Furthermore, as you were saying, with a relatively new discovery of brown adipose tissue in adult humans, there's been a growing interest in stimulating brown adipose tissue to combat obesity. And really, there's a paucity of data out there related to arterial function in this tissue. So we wanted to explore the differential reactivity of feed arteries from these two disparate adipose depots to important vasoconstrictors, and also to see how they might be impacted by high-fat feeding. So in order to explore this, we chose to use a pressure myography system where we excised feed arteries that were less than 200 micrometers in luminal diameter from our normal chow and high-fat fed mice. And these mice were fed this high-fat Western diet for about 8 weeks. And then we examined reactivity to different agonists using the pressure myography system. We also explored some passive mechanical properties of the arteries using the pressure diameter relation after arteries were incubated in a calcium-free solution. And so what we found was that despite a higher contractility to potassium chloride in the brown adipose tissue arteries compared to the white adipose tissue, we didn't see an increase in receptor-mediated vasoconstriction. So when we examined vasoreactivity to norepinephrine, angiotensin II, or ET1, they were either lower or not different from what we found in the brown adipose tissue compared to the white in our normal chow-fed animals. And interestingly, although we found a robust and biphasic constriction to angiotensin II in the WAT or white adipose tissue arteries that was diminished after high-fat feeding, there was very little reactivity at all in the brown adipose tissues to this agonist. And in general, we found that high-fat diet lowered reactivity to the receptor-mediated agonists, with the exception of endothelin 1.
Thank you, Lisa. These very interesting data suggest that this may have some important clinical and translational implications. Camilla, I wonder if you could discuss a little bit about how these might play into human obesity and metabolism.
I will be happy to. So as you know, unfortunately, human obesity is a national and a global epidemic, and this scenario is getting worse and worse. We know that. Also, regarding cardiovascular disease, we know that obesity is correlated with vascular dysfunction. We also know that most blood vessels are surrounded by perivascular adipose tissue, or we also call PVAT. At least in aorta, PVAT presents both brown and white adipose tissue. We know that, and recently, we know, based on the Framingham studies, that human obesity changes the ratio of white and brown adipose tissue. I mean that there is an increase in white adipose tissue and a decrease in brown adipose tissue. And this change is directly correlated with aortic stiffness and remodeling, and subsequently cardiovascular disease.
Thank you, Camilla. Lisa, did you want to add anything to the clinical applications of this, certainly relating to hypertension and obesity?
I think that if there's a way to sort of stimulate blood flow and activity within the brown adipose tissue, and if that's possibly through changes in reactivity in the vessels, I'm not sure. But, you know, there's the potential to help in fighting this obesity epidemic that's important. And there's been work on the side of the white adipose tissue looking at changes in, say, like VEGF and trying to stimulate that in states of obesity. And there's been sort of a mixed bag of results as to whether that helps metabolically or with actual obesity. And so finding another avenue would have potentially a lot of impact.
So, Liz, I also have a question for you. First, I want to say that I really liked your work. It was a really nice, beautiful work. My question is, as you know, circulating levels of angiotensin II and sympathetic activity are increasing human obesity, which may lead to an overstimulation of H1 receptor and also adrenergic receptors, and subsequently internalization of these receptors. Therefore, based on your data, you show that angiotensin II and noradrenaline-induced contractions are decreased in animals treated with high-fat diet. So I was wondering if the decrease of the contraction was due to an internalization of these receptors, especially because you did not observe changes in vascular structure and remodeling. Could you comment a little bit about this point?
I think it would be very interesting to follow up these studies with measures of internalization or even true measures of expression using Western blot or some other method than just the gene expression that we attempted to do. Unfortunately, we just didn't have tissue available to do those studies. But I think that that's an important point, that it could be that there's just a reduction in receptor density or an increase in receptor internalization or just a decrease in sensitivity itself of the receptors that is leading to the reduced reactivity that we're seeing. And at this point, we just don't know the answer.
Lisa, I have one final question maybe you can comment on in terms of mechanisms of vascular reactivity. Then the three agents that you used, angiotensin, norepinephrine, and endothelin, all of those evoke increases in reactive oxidant species. And I'm wondering if you had an opportunity to look at the magnitude of ROS and whether or not there are adaptive changes in antioxidant enzymes that could explain the altered reactivity.
Yeah, unfortunately, we didn't actually measure those. And it's something that I think we need to follow up. It's pretty well known in other vascular beds that with obesity, this endothelial dysfunction is often associated with increases in ROS. But in our hands at this point, we haven't measured it. So it's something we need to go back and do. But I think likely there will be an increase in ROS. And whether that directly impacts the increased vasoconstrictor reactivity or acts to limit endothelium-dependent dilation that would be limiting the constriction, I'm not sure how that would fall. But I think it's an interesting thing that we need to follow up in the future.
Well, this has been a great discussion. Congratulations on a very nice piece of work. And now I'm going to turn it back to Kara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this one, visit us online at physiology.org/journal/AJP Heart.